How do you do? Blowing bubbles is fun, even for adults. Anticipating the bubbles as they glisten and expand, hoping they don't burst and disappear. Life was like that for the woman in this story. Every time something good happened to her, the bubble would burst, until the day her heart and mind and life were unshackled.
What'd you do with my cats, Todd?
I told you, I got rid of them for good.
You hurt them, didn't you?
That's what you think, then so be it. You love them more than you love me anyway.
You managed to ruin everything I care about. I pawned my guitar to bail you out of jail, and you promised we'd buy it back, but we never did.
You'll never stop harping about that, will you?
No. I'm sick of the way things are going. We'd be living in our car if your uncle didn't need our help. I don't know how to take care of someone who's dying.
You can't even take care of the living.
32 years old, going nowhere. I hate staying here with your uncle. We have nothing of our own.
Nah, you're such a complainer. Always griping about something. You know, you'd never make it in the army.
Well, you lose, Todd. I'm in the Army now.
You're kidding.
I enlisted this morning. I report for basic training next month at Fort McClellan, Alabama.
Dramatizing true life stories of real people, this is Unshackled, produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Many homeless people have learned the hard way that people will let you down. They make promises they don't keep. But when homeless people come to Pacific Garden Mission, they meet someone who keeps his promises and life for them starts looking up. The mission provides shelter, food, and fresh clothing to hundreds of men, women, and children each day. Even medical and dental treatment in the mission clinic to resident guests, all without charge. Mission pastors and counselors share the good news that can change their lives, pointing them in a new direction as they meet the one whose truth promises new life. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise. Now for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 3245 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
All right, soldier, move it! Get down from that obstacle now, now, now! Are you all right, soldier?
What happened?
You fell off the cargo net. Don't move. Medic!
I can't move my legs. I can't move my legs!
The woman in our story had been a U.S. soldier 5 years when she fell during training and broke her back. This is her testimony. The true story of Kathy Leslie, right now on Unshackled.
I grew up in Chicago, the youngest of 4 siblings with 2 older brothers and a sister. Always a tomboy, I could beat up any of the boys I played with as a child. I was daddy's girl, which irritated mother. My parents drank and fought, and mom would go out and return just before daylight. I started smoking in 6th grade and progressed to marijuana. By the 8th grade, I was stoned all the time.
How's my girl?
Just fine, Daddy.
I heard you playing the guitar in your room.
Yeah. Mom wanted me to take piano lessons, but I like the guitar much better.
Is it hard playing left-handed?
Everything's harder, but I like challenges.
That's my girl. I have something to tell you, Kathy. I have pancreatic cancer.
Cancer? No, Daddy.
I've been sick for years. The doc gave me 5 years to live, but I've already beaten that.
Dad was in and out of the hospital a lot, and he drank constantly, hiding bottles everywhere. He and Mom ended up getting divorced. Dad moved into an apartment. Sometimes Mom would wake me up to go out to a bar with her. She would sit with her male friends while I sat at the bar, and sometimes the bartender gave me a drink.
What do you want, Rich?
I came to get Kathy.
She's not going with you.
Why not?
You're a bad influence on her, always drunk.
She's my daughter, and we have joint custody.
You're not coming in my house either.
I don't have long to live, Angie. I'd like to spend more time with Kathy.
They booted her out of parochial school when they found pot in her locker. Stupid girl. She's nothing like Jenny.
Both of our daughters are special. Kathy needs her daddy.
It's your fault she's such a rebel. You always pampered her. Go away.
Mom favored Jenny, but Dad always bought me sports gear, encouraging my love of sports. I knew he loved me. The week before I graduated, my brother Mark went to Dad's apartment and found him on the sofa bleeding. My boyfriend took me to the hospital where everyone had gathered and where Dad lay in ICU. The family didn't want me to see him, but I went into his room anyway and held his hand. Don't leave me, Daddy. You're the only one who really loves me. And I'll always be your little tomboy.
My little girl.
I'm sorry I let you down by getting kicked out of school. But I'm graduating next week and I want you to be there. Don't leave me alone.
I love you, Kathy. I live there.
While I stood there holding his hand, Daddy died. I was devastated. We all met at my grandparents' house to plan the funeral. Instead, we had a big fight. Dad wanted me to have his car as a graduation present, but Mom said no. Later, my oldest brother, Richie, bought me a car. I partied even more after graduating. And one night, Mom came into my room.
Kathy, if you want to keep living under my roof, you're going to have to start paying rent.
Rent? That's pretty cold-hearted, Mom.
You're a big girl. You're out of school and you're working. If you can afford to buy pot, you can pay rent.
Fine. I can take care of myself. I don't need anyone telling me what to do.
If you choose to leave, don't ever come back.
Mom and I never had a great relationship. She always called me a whoops baby, an accident. So the next day, I moved in with my boyfriend, Butch. And a month later, we were married. He was older and responsible. I was so selfish. I'd come home from work and go out with friends and play softball and then drink until the bars closed. Butch berated me one night, so I told him to leave. And he did. I divorced him and moved in with my brother Mark until I could get my own apartment. I moved to Michigan near my sister Jenny, who was married. That's where I met Todd, and we became inseparable. On a whim, we got married and partied for about 5 years. The things of this world consumed us. Sports, traveling, drinking, and snorting cocaine. Then the party ended. I had to pawn my guitar to bail you out of jail, Todd.
We'll get it back for you, Kathy.
Why in the world were you arrested anyway?
My ex did it for revenge. She claims I haven't paid child support.
Well, have you?
Come on, I used the money to buy some coke.
That's crazy, Todd. I mean, we already lost the apartment because we couldn't pay the rent. Where are we going to sleep? In the car?
If we have to. But I sure don't want those cats with us.
I love those cats.
Yeah, well, then find them a new home.
That's when we moved to northern Michigan, where I joined the Army. Todd moved to Alabama near Fort McClellan while I was in basic training. I became a military policeman and stopped using drugs, but drank heavily. Todd kept doing cocaine. I spent a year in Korea, and then I was stationed at Fort Campbell, Kentucky. Todd worked now and then if I harassed him. I'd been an MP for 5 years when I fell during air assault training and broke my back.
So what's going to happen, Kathy?
I'm going to learn to walk again. Count on it.
With a smashed lumbar, vertebrae, and 2 blown-out discs?
Yeah. I will not be paralyzed the rest of my life.
You have tenacity, girl.
They tried to talk me into a medical discharge, but I'm not going to do it. I like being an MP.
Well, more power to you. Does it hurt a lot?
I don't feel anything thanks to this little button. It dispenses morphine when I need it.
Oh, self-doping. Man, that's cool.
I went through 8 months of arduous physical therapy learning to walk again. All that time, the Army chain of command tried to get me to medically retire, but I refused. I bought a house near Fort Campbell and returned to duty. unable to run or carry heavy loads, but I could walk again. About that time, my brother Mark died of lymphoma, and no one let me know.
What's up?
Mark died, and the funeral's today. I gotta get to Chicago.
How come you weren't notified sooner?
The Red Cross never got a message. One of the MPs told me. I called the funeral home, and Mom said she didn't think of the Red Cross.
Oh, man, that's crazy. He was your brother.
Mom told me not to bother coming. It'll be over by the time I get there.
You're going anyway?
You bet. The guys in the unit gave me enough money for a plane ticket. I'm on the next flight. When I got to the cemetery, everyone was gone, so I spent some time at the freshly filled grave right next to Daddy. I apologized to my brother for being late. Then I flew home. Mom never even knew I was there. I re-enlisted in the Army and immediately got orders back to Korea. I was uneasy, leaving Todd in charge of the house, so I called him often.
Everything's fine, Kathy.
Well, it's not fine here. I'm up by the DMZ living in condemned barracks. They were flooded right before I got here. No window screens and mosquitoes big enough to carry you away.
So, how's your back?
Not good. Some days I have to get a shot for the pain. And they won't let me go to the range and qualify because I can't lie on my belly.
Oh, if you can't qualify, how can you be an MP?
They gave me a desk job, and I hate it. Most of the time when I called home, Todd was not there. Worried about his irresponsibility and drug use, I began calling neighbors to check on him. Sometimes I'd wake up in the morning and ask, God, what did I do to deserve this?
In a moment, we'll hear the conclusion of Kathy's story. A visitor to Pacific Garden Mission emailed us, "My husband and I visited a couple weeks ago to tour the mission and see the recording of Unshackled. We were so very blessed. You'll be blessed as well when you visit, and we hope you do soon. You'll get a guided tour of the facilities and leave with insight into how we help the homeless. Any day is fine, but Saturday is when we tape Unshackled, and you can be part of the audience, seeing how radio drama is produced." Another benefit of visiting is to see the magnitude of our ministry and the opportunity to volunteer. Young people, military personnel, the retired, anyone can help. To learn more about visiting or volunteering, write to Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois 60607. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org.
My tour of duty in Korea finally ended and I flew home. The house was still there, but Todd was not. He didn't know I was home because I hadn't been able to reach him for a month. The house was a pigsty with drug paraphernalia and needles strewn about. The utilities were off, but I cleaned up the house and Todd finally came back.
When'd you get home?
2 days ago.
Oh, you should have let me know.
I tried. You left the dogs chained in the yard half-starved.
Oh, I came back and fed them.
Not since I've been back. 2 lawn chairs, that's all that's left of my furniture? Where's my stuff?
I needed some cash.
You pawned it, didn't you, for drugs?
The TV and stereo's still here.
Oh, good thing I got back, huh? Or they'd be gone, too. Why didn't you get a job?
Oh, man, you turned into a shrew.
Well, you've turned into a mess. I mean, look at you all strung out on crack.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Get yourself into drug rehab, Todd.
Hey, don't tell me what to do. I'm not changing, so you better get off my back.
I couldn't live with a crack-addicted husband, so I moved into the barracks for a while and went home just to feed the dogs. Then came another blow.
Hello?
Hey, sis. What's new?
Everything's fine here. By the way, did you know that Butch died?
No, I didn't.
I'm not sure who told me about it. How are things with you and Todd?
Jenny, he's not the man he was when I went to Korea.
You shouldn't be living in the barracks, Kathy. Make him move out of your house.
I'll have to, because the Army is cutting me loose.
Because of your back?
Yes. They said I'll never be promoted with my limitations, so it's a dead end.
Maybe it's for the best.
I'm pretty bummed. It's hard to lose your career, your marriage, and your house at the same time. I wish my marriage was like yours. Your marriage is like a storybook.
Thanks, Kathy. You bought your home. Make Todd move out.
That was a tough time, but I found a job as bailiff with the county sheriff's department. I moved back into my house while Todd lived in a shed in the yard, and then he moved back to Michigan. I still drank a lot. On my job as bailiff, I met some probation officers and decided to get a degree in criminal justice, one of the hardest things I've ever done. After I graduated, I got a job close to home and made a new friend at work. She was a source of encouragement to me. I nicknamed her Sensei. One day, she invited me to an open house, and her church friends were there.
So what did you think of the open house, Kathy?
It was fun. I was kind of nervous at first, but your church people were nice.
They're friendly people.
I loved the guitar music and singing. I've never heard those songs before.
They're Christian songs.
I taught myself to play guitar left-handed, but I haven't had a guitar in 18 years.
I used to play bass guitar, but now I'm learning acoustic. Would you like to borrow mine?
The next day, I was playing guitar again as if I had never stopped. It was wonderful. And before long, my friend invited me to practice with the worship team at her little church. I worried about that because I drank so much, but I decided to try. The first time I joined them, I asked a lot of stupid questions, but nobody rolled their eyes. They even gave me a Bible to read.
So have you ever read the Bible, Kathy?
No, I haven't read a book since I finished my degree.
How's it going?
Better than expected. I like reading the Bible. It's good reading.
Yes, it is. It has history, suspense, love stories, murders and intrigue, and most of all, hope.
I'll say. Now, why in the world would anyone wander 40 years in the wilderness without knowing where they're going?
Sounds like a lot of people I know.
Yeah, like me. But I have an excuse. Around Christmas time, when I was 6 years old, me and a friend went into a nearby church and sang Happy Birthday to Jesus. Then we blew out all the vigil candles.
Did you really?
Yeah, boy, did we get in trouble. Well, we didn't know any better, but we were punished. And I was so scared.
No wonder you didn't want to come to church.
Well, they told me I was doomed, especially since I was born the day after Halloween.
Nobody's doomed unless they reject Christ as Savior.
I soaked up the preaching and Bible teaching like a dry sponge, and I began to notice changes in me. Cussing less, smiling more. I wondered if the Lord was working on me. I kept asking questions of my coworker about God, the Holy Spirit, being born again, and baptism.
Jesus spoke about being born again in John chapter 3, remember? He said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Then he said in verse 5, "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit."
I don't get it.
Keep reading. The Holy Spirit will open your understanding.
Well, I'm almost finished with Revelation. I looked ahead, and next I'm going to be reading the Book of Occupations.
There is no Book of Occupations.
I'll show you. I have my Bible right here. See? Soothsayer, governor, tax collector.
That's just a list of occupations during biblical times.
Oh, Sensei, it's all a little scary.
What?
I'm making a commitment to become a Christian. I mean, I leapt into two marriages without thinking, and they ended in divorce. How can I make a commitment to something or someone I can't even see? I love the army, but that didn't last. I'm afraid of being hurt. I'd have to give up things like sleeping in on Sunday and my favorite TV shows. I mean, it's like giving up my old life and starting a new one.
Yes, that's true, Kathy. But you'll receive new life in Christ, which is far better. You'll never regret it.
Oh, I've done so many bad things in my life. How could God ever forgive me for all those things?
Why don't you ask him? Jesus died to save you from hell, Kathy. He loves you.
That night, as I read my Bible, I felt so heavy in my heart, so I closed the Bible. I began praying, asking God to forgive me for the many bad things I had done. I felt a rush of warmth come over me, like an explosion. I was clean, like nothing I'd ever felt. At that moment, I realized that I was saved. I don't know how I knew it, but I was sure that I was saved. All I could say was, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you." And then I cried tears of joy. I was too excited to sleep or to read. I wanted to call Sensei, but it was too late. I played my guitar and praised the Lord for his great love. I didn't get much sleep that night. And the next day, I felt like bursting inside, but I tried to calm down when I went to see Sensei.
Good morning.
Come into my office.
What is it?
It's time.
Huh?
It's time.
Did you give your life to the Lord?
Yes. Oh, I felt so clean inside. Cleaner than I've ever felt.
Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow.
Oh, what's next?
You continue to grow. Listen to God. Let him guide you through his word.
Well, how do I know God is speaking to me?
You'll know.
The following days were like a whirlwind for me. I told everyone I knew about Jesus, who was with me at all times, loving, encouraging, and guiding me. Sensei was right. I kept asking God what he wanted me to do with my life, and I knew it was God when he spoke to my heart, telling me to teach children his word through music. I was not a kid person, but I offered to lead a children's music program. I was full of joy, but I was afraid the bubble would burst.
Something's bothering you, Kathy.
Yeah, my oldest brother, Rick, died suddenly in Chicago. And once again, I had to learn from an outsider because my family periodically quit speaking to each other.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you going back for the funeral?
Yes, but nobody else is. My sister lives out west now, so I can understand her not going. But I called Mom, and she's not going either. Her own son!
Never mind any of that, Kathy. You go to Chicago and be an ambassador for Christ.
I drove to Chicago, listening to praise and worship music, singing at the top of my lungs. But when I reached the funeral home, my knees buckled. I knew that my brother didn't know the Lord, which bothered me. I prayed that Rick had come to Christ before his death, but only God knows where he is now. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Inside, I hugged aunts, uncles, and cousins, and after paying our respects to the deceased, we sat around catching up on our lives, and I told them about my new life in Christ.
Kathy, are you one of them born-again Christians?
Yep, sure am.
I don't understand that stuff. Going to church should be enough.
Now, there's no comparison. I am so in love with the Lord. You know, I kick myself daily for rejecting him the first 47 years of my life.
You used to have a temper. Still have it?
Now, the Lord is working on that.
I remember how your grandpa bragged about you beating up that kid who made fun of him.
Yeah, but, well, I wouldn't do that today. I want to be like Jesus.
Like raising the dead?
Hey, after Jesus gave sight to a blind man, religious leaders tried to disparage what he had done. But the blind man said, "One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." So you can tell by the change in someone's life that they've come to know the risen Lord. I had prayed about drinking and felt confident that God would give me victory, and he did, on New Year's Eve. I had been saved for a year, and just before the New Year's Eve service, the Lord stirred us, and a revival came to our church body. Many of the members committed to a closer walk with the Lord, as I did. Months later, I went to court on behalf of a girl who was on my caseload. She'd been incarcerated for quite a while on parole violation. The bailiff said she wanted to talk with me, so I walked over during break.
Kathy, I'm glad you came over here because I want to thank you.
Thank me?
Yes. Remember when you talked to me at the jail?
I remember.
Well, you really helped me a lot.
I did? How?
You told me to get in a corner, read my Bible, pray for my family and my baby, the situation I got myself into, and seek the Lord. You said he would help me, and you also told me not to listen to anyone's negative comments.
And you did that?
I did what you told me to do. I sure wish I had listened to you before I got busted. Oh, I've been reading my Bible and praying every chance I get.
Great.
Kathy, I want you to know that I'm saved. I know that Jesus loves me, and I will live the rest of my life for him. And you started it all for me. You helped me. I just wanted to say thank you.
Yeah, she's definitely different. When she first came into jail, she was nothing but trouble, constantly fighting with the other inmates. We had to put her in a restraint chair in isolation a few times. Now she's a model prisoner. She no longer gets in trouble, and we often see her sitting in the corner of the pod or on her bunk reading her Bible. She's even talking to the other girls about the Lord.
I am thrilled when the Lord uses me to tell someone of the new life in Christ that he has given me, and that God offers this wonderful gift to them also. I still recognize the propensity to be angry, but the Lord continues to fill my heart and mind with his word. The best decision I ever made was receiving Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Jesus said, "If ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, he shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." That's a promise from God.
According to Romans chapter 5 and 6, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Listening friend, there is only one cure for the disposition of sin, and that is the blood of Christ Jesus shed on the cross. Christ died for your sins. If you need counsel in making this crucial decision, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, www.unshackled.org. This is program number 3245. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. We'd love to know you listen, so please write today. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-492-9410.